Don't be nervous. It's all okay. We are resuming, and we are on items 8 through 12, all of which are related to... Was that right?
We were on 8, 9, and 12, 10, and 11 were passed. They were not related to the capital improvement program of 2014. Anyway, Dr. Lever...
8, 9, and 12.
Right. Dr. Lever is here... Basically, item 8 is what you're hearing the school appeals on. That is the proposed capital improvement program for fiscal year 2014. And there are appeals to that. Dr. Lieber will explain it to you. Item 12 is a property transfer that relates to a Baltimore County school that relates to the CIP for 2014, so that's why we held it. And then item 9 is the energy efficiency initiative money. That's also intertwined with that. So that's why those three items together. Dr. Lieber, if you want to present, or just right there, you don't have to get up, tell them about the CIP from 2014, and then we can jump right into Frederick County's appeal.
Thank you very much, and good morning, members of the Board of Public Works. For the record, David Lieber, Executive Director of the program. The recommendation today from the IAC is for a total of $250 million. $187.5 million is for specific projects that are recommended for approval, leaving a balance of $62.5 million to be recommended at a later date. This includes 198 projects that are approved to receive some allocation of the energy initiative that was approved by the General Assembly last year, and on May 23rd, the Board of Public Works approved reserving that $25 million because the application process was just initiating at that point. We did receive applications for some 280 projects in the fall of 2014. And
these are, David, energy efficiency projects.
Energy efficiency
and
projects.
And this is the source of funds, is all the same school construction capital appropriation?
It all comes from the capital improvement program. The $25 million was intended to be used to leverage the largest amount of energy savings possible, so that, those funds are largely used as simply an incentive portion. And many of these projects also have a regular component in the FY14 or the FY13 CIP. The item number 8 includes $21.6 million out of the $25 million for energy efficiency projects. That's the 198 projects. That leaves $1.5 million, which is addressed in item number 9, which are enhancements to projects that were already approved in the FY13 capital improvement program. The school systems enhanced their projects, and they met the standards that were established through the Maryland Energy Administration. And so the additional $1.5 million, will be used to enhance those projects. That will leave a balance of about $1.9 million still to allocate within the energy efficiency money that was set aside, the $25 million. And we'll come back with our 90% and then 100% recommendations to take care of all of that funding. We have ample projects that can be recommended. And other than that, I think you would probably want to wait to approve this until after you hear from the school systems.
Okay. Abby Hoppert, are we doing something on net zero schools as part of the settlement with Exelon?
Yeah.
Do you want to come up here a second? And I think that's separate and apart from the school construction dollars. Abby Hopper is our energy advisor to the Office of the Governor.
Yes, sir. So as a condition of the Exelon settlement, there was money that the Public Service Commission put in the Customer Investment Fund. And they recently approved how those monies would be allocated, $9 million of which went to net zero schools. So that is in addition to the $25 million that was in the FY13 budget.
And what's a net zero school?
It's literally that there's no energy, no energy use. So
the
school
produces as much energy as it uses.
Exactly. So there are significant energy efficiency upgrades to the school, right, to lower the amount they need, and then there's renewable energy as well, so that they can...
Do we have any applicants yet?
I don't believe that the program has been designed yet, but it will be in the BGE service territory.
Mm-hmm.
There will be new school construction, correct? And they are... we identified 5, Baltimore City, Baltimore County, Howard County, and Hartford? Is that right? And so we proposed 5. The Public Service Commission had approved 3.
Okay. And the likelihood is it would be a new school?
Yes, sir.
Built from ground up, and then these dollars would be used to cover that front-end differential.
Exactly.
And that, you know, you could see a return on investment within a few years because
Absolutely.
Of the fact that you're not paying the energy bills.
Right. I'm sure these folks could tell you that that's a big percentage of what their budgets are for.
How much more expensive is a net zero school?
We think it's about a $3 million differential.
Three?
If you're going to speak, would you stay and introduce yourself?
Oh, correct. Sorry. This is Hannah Polakoff. She is a, what's her title?
Senior policy advisor.
At MEA. And she has been the lead on the school's programs, both the capital money as well as the net zero.
Ms. Polakoff, what do you want to tell us about this?
First of all, thank you for the $25 million that we received for the Energy Efficiency Initiative, and also thank you for helping with get the PSC funding for the $9 million of net zero schools. In terms of your question of how much more does it cost, this is such a new thing that schools are doing across the country. There's only about half a dozen schools built net zero so far, so people are still figuring out exactly how it's done and what the costs are, but roughly about a 10% cost premium, and that's what we're going to provide to the schools.
Maybe we should require that they all be net zero. When we did the green building standards, nobody seemed to cough on that one.
Right.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Sure.
Let's get back to the business at hand.
Yes.
So are we ready for Frederick or Dr. Lauer? I'm sorry. I mean, was there more? Did I interrupt?
No, I think that I covered just in outline form the two motions that you'll address later on.
All right. Dr. Lauer, anything you'd like to add or say?
No, I just had the opportunity to work through IEC with the people from the Energy Efficiency Office. She's been a great support to us in helping us process these classes. Thank you for the
sure. Well, this is the Comptroller's favorite day at the Board of Public Works, isn't it? He gets to see all of the school systems. We get to see all of the school systems come through, and really impressive some of the things going on and the high aspirations and that these leaders and school boards have for their kids and their educational and occupational future. It really is inspiring, but it's also daunting because there's a lot of them. Not as many. How many school systems did you have in Delaware, though?
19.
How many? 19? And we have 24. You only had 19 school systems?
Only 19 with 130,000 students.
Mm-hmm. 19. Well, I thought you had more than that. All right. Well, let's get
Dr. Lowry, could I ask you a question? As superintendent, not as chair of the IAC, but with especially the net new schools, but all of these improvements, is there a way the curriculum interacts with the construction, I mean, the physical plant, so that it becomes an object lesson? And
I have the opportunity to go to Sutlersville.
Pull that mic over a little closer, Dr.
The opportunity to go to Sutlersville when they open their new school, which is a gold leaf school around environmental opportunities. And they do have curricular offerings for their students on energy efficiencies throughout their science and math classes. So,
because if you can see your own building and see the options and what the benefit of one is or the cost of one is, I would think that would really bring home something that could be pretty abstract otherwise.
And they do have, as one enters the building, a running electronic board that keeps all kind of data and stat around energy usage.
School stat.
Yeah.
School stat. We need more school stat. We need some performance measures in the management of our schools and their buildings and their budgets.
There's a stat for that particular school, which could then feed into system-wide. I mean, it could be really very interesting.
I think most, and Dr. Lieber could probably speak to it more definitively than I think most new school buildings are looking to make sure that they're using opportunities to share those kinds of data with students around energy efficiency.
Yes, we do ask this kind of question when we meet with the school systems in the fall. And many of them, where they are putting in high-performance schools, where, for instance, they're putting in a solar array under a power purchase agreement, one of the components is an energy kiosk. which is in a main crossing place where the kids will see it, and they tie the information there into their science curriculum, their math curriculum, so forth. In the Evergreen School in St. Mary's County, the kiosk is actually designed into the building. They have a geothermal system, which is running the same loadings as a conventional system. Children can see side-by-side comparisons in real time between the performance of the geothermal system versus the conventional system. And I've seen this, the graphs and so forth. It's very, very vivid. It's interactive. The children just love it. And they become very knowledgeable about these things. And we have heard from other states that, and perhaps we have data from this state too, that it does actually lead to educational achievement gains through this interaction.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Frederick, huh?
Oh, we do.
We're starting partway up in the alphabet, or?
We're actually two counties asked to go out of order, Frederick and Carroll, and then we are doing something we haven't done before. We're going alphabetically reverse-wise from the W's back to A's. So you'll see Frederick and Carroll first, and then you can recite the alphabet.
Greenwald Hills of Maryland.
Hi. Good morning, Governor O'Malley, Comptroller Franchot, and Treasurer Koch, as well as staff. I'm Ann Bonitatibus, Chief Operating Officer for Frederick County Public Schools, and I bring greetings on behalf of our Superintendent, Dr. Teresa Albin, and our School Board President, Ms. Jean Smith, neither of whom are able to be here today due to a previous Board of Education meeting commitment. Also with me today is our Executive Director of Facilities, Mr. Raymond Barnes, as well as our Facilities Planner for the County, Ms. Elizabeth Passer. We appreciate the opportunity to meet with you and request construction funding for three projects: the new Lincolnar High School, the renovation and addition to Lincoln Elementary School, and the replacement of North Frederick Elementary. Lincolnar High School opened for students in August of 2010, and Lincoln Elementary opened for our students just this past fall, August 2012. We also request planning approval for two projects: a replacement of Frederick High School, and a new elementary school in the Urbana area. Finally, funding is being requested for several systemic renovation projects that are key to our maintenance program. Frederick County is faced with the challenge of making substantial investment in new buildings and additions to address our enrollment growth, while at the same time addressing the renovation needs of our older schools. With the state's financial assistance, which we appreciate, in recent years, we've been able to make progress, and we have successfully renovated several of our older buildings. However, over the next 10 years, the Department of State Planning projects our system to be one of the fastest growing in Maryland. Based on these enrollment growth forecasts and the current overcrowding we have at some of our schools, we once again need to address our new capacity issues while we keep moving forward on our renovation projects. The investment in space now will serve us well in the future. We feel the local financial support our county commissioners have provided our school construction program demonstrates the high priority we give to public education in Frederick County. This year, our school board and the county commissioners are in agreement that our highest priority requests are for the state to fulfill its prior commitments to projects the county commissioners have forward funded. Our joint appeal in priority order is as follows. First, we are requesting approval for Lincolnar High School replacement. Additional construction funds are requested for fiscal year 2014. This project replaced an existing 1,254 state-rated capacity building with a modern 1,600 state-rated capacity high school. Planning approval was granted by the IAC in April of 2006. And the county commissioners provided forward funding for this project in fiscal year 2009. And as previously stated, this building did open to our students in August 2010. We request the $3 million in state funds recommended for fiscal year 2014 by the Interagency Committee on School Construction be increased to more closely match the total remaining obligation the state has for this project, and that's $9.252 million. Our second request is for Lincoln Elementary School addition and renovation. Additional construction funding is requested for this project in fiscal year 2014. This school building is located in one of our highest need neighborhoods.
and this project included a new elementary school that replaced a building that was dated from 1922. It also consolidated the elementary school, which previously had been in two different buildings on either side of a real busy city street. This project we are very proud of because it is a high-performance, energy-efficient building, and it has earned Silver LEED certification. Planning approval was granted in fiscal year 2009, and the commissioners provided forward funding for our project in fiscal year 2010. The school opened, as I said, for students this past August 2012, and our appeal is for an additional $1.297 million for this project. And as a side note, I'd like to thank Comptroller Frenchot for visiting Lincoln Elementary School last week. He took a thorough tour of the building, asked great questions, and visited students who were eating their lunch in their new cafeteria. And as a matter of fact, on his way out, one of the little first graders grabbed my arm, and he said, I need that man's autograph. So, yeah. Before I leave today, could I get that for you? Our third request is for a North Frederick Elementary School replacement. This project addresses the needs of a 56-year-old school in the city of Frederick. Based on the condition of the building, this is our board's next priority for replacement at the elementary level. A feasibility study for this school was completed by Frederick County Public Schools, and it was approved by IAC in 2009. Design for the replacement school is now nearly complete, and we plan to bid this project very soon here in 2013. The county commissioners have allocated funding that will allow the project to move forward in fiscal year 2014. Only $906,000 has been recommended by the IAC. The total state share of construction of this building is $10.928 million. In addition to the request I've just mentioned for construction funding, we are requesting planning approval for two projects. First, we'd like planning approval for the Frederick High School replacement. This project includes the replacement of our oldest high school in the system and the one most in need of a facilities upgrade. This school was originally built in 1939, and it's received numerous additions over the years. A feasibility study has been underway, and we're expecting to complete it very soon. As a matter of fact, our school board is holding a public hearing tonight on the first feasibility study report. The Board of County Commissioners has allocated funding in fiscal year 2014 to initiate design of this project. Our second request is for the new Urbana Area Elementary School. This project will address the most seriously overcrowded school in our county, which is Centerville Elementary School. This school is currently operating at 137% of its capacity. With just over 900 students, it is larger than over half of our middle schools, and it's even larger than one of our high schools. This project will also help relieve crowding at a nearby Urbana Elementary School, which is operating at 110% capacity, and that school, which is about 800 students again, is larger than many of our middle schools. This is an active area of new residential growth along the I-270 corridor. A site for this school is scheduled to be donated by a developer, and we plan to present this site for review in the near future. Our request is to begin design of this school in fiscal year 2014, pending receipt of funding by our county commissioners. Finally, I would note that we are requesting funding for several important systemic projects that include the following. We want to replace the roof at Myersville Elementary, as well as our Career and Technology Center. We have plumbing repairs to make at Sibylisville Elementary, window and door replacements at Newmarket Middle School, and HVAC repairs at Brunswick High School. The Board of County Commissioners has assumed a substantial financial burden in forward funding these essential construction projects, as well as major renovations, repairs, and maintenance of existing school facilities in the county. We recognize the importance of their efforts to help us cope with the influx of students and our aging school needs. However, we also need the state to maintain a balanced partnership by increasing its financial commitment to Frederick County. We strongly urge your support of the projects we've submitted to you today, and your continued commitment to honor previous funding obligations. This support will allow Frederick County Public Schools to be among the top-performing schools in the top-performing state in the nation. Thank you.
Could I just ask one question? I don't know of whom. In terms of these forward-funded projects and others that we will be hearing about, I assume, are there any for which this is the last year in which we could borrow the fund?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Ray, but I believe Lincoln is the last year. I think Linganore, we have one more year, is that correct?
We have one more year at Linganore.
We
have one more year at Linganore.
This is
Ray Bond. I'm sorry.
One more year at Linganore. I think Lincoln needs to be covered. North Frederick hasn't begun. Walkersville is taken care of. So I think it's just
that
one.
So Lincoln, if we don't do it now, it would have to come from FAGO.
Yes. Frederick has done a very, very good job of analyzing this and presenting the information to us.
We track that every year when we come down. How many more years do we have left? So we'll try to stay in sync with Dave if somebody makes his recommendation that is part of the equation.
Thank you.
Could I just add one note, please? The Lincoln Elementary School has achieved LEED Silver. It was under no state obligation to do so because it's a renovation addition project. Frederick County Public Schools did that entirely on their own initiative.
It's a great school system. Of course they would.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you for, I could just comment. Thank you for mentioning my visit last week. I told that young student that that's worth a couple $100,000 to ask for my autograph, so thanks. But seriously, you have a great system. Please thank Superintendent Alden for being so generous and helpful, as the treasurer noted, as Dr. Lieber mentioned. You've gone and made this environmental school, so that's terrific. You've got a system, I think the treasurer alluded to it, that is just outstanding. Great teachers, great students, and I enjoyed my visit. I noted, though, since it's a wonderful new school, that it had a very secure entrance.
Yes.
And in light of the terrible tragedy that happened up in Connecticut, I'm just wondering what kind of steps are being taken by your system to give your administrators and support staff at other schools, older schools, not schools that have the ability of that, you know, administration office, as Lincoln does, a better sense of who's in your buildings and when they're in the buildings. And I've visited over 130 schools since being elected comptroller, and there are some instances where, frankly, it's essentially an honor system, as far as I could tell, because either it was an older school, so the administration might be in a remote area, and even when it was up front, sometimes there wasn't a good line of sight. And obviously that is not going to be acceptable to parents, so I'm in this new era that we're in. And I'm just wondering, other than investments in law enforcement and technology that could be made, how can we realign our physical spaces themselves to make our school campuses more secure?
Thank you for that question and for your observations. We conducted a thorough review of our 64 schools just on the entrances alone, and we categorized them in terms of schools that had what we consider to be a very secure entryway, which would be a guided, secured vestibule that leads directly into the front office, also accompanied by cameras and a buzzer system outside that entrance. We have several schools that have that, and, of course, that would be our newer schools. We also have schools that have one or the other, that either have the guided vestibule or they have the buzzer entry and cameras. What we did find, though, is that we did have six schools that did not have either, and we did put them on high priority, and we are currently in the process of getting that equipment and installing that, so that way those schools do have that security. And then we do plan to go back, retrofit any other buildings who do not have secure buzzer entrances and putting those in. The vestibules would be a little bit harder to retrofit on some buildings just due to the construction and the nature of the building. We also are conducting training with those who monitor the buzzer system, so that way they follow appropriate protocols, and so that way they can ask guests to our buildings to stand back so we can see your face on the camera. Please identify yourself by name. Do you have ID with you? So those training components are just as important. We firmly believe that planning, preparation, and rehearsal are the most important aspects for our safety programs in Frederick County Public Schools. Additionally, as part of that preparation, it's just the training that we do with staff and our students.
Thank you for that. And then on a related subject, I was very pleased to see President Obama, when he was announcing his gun control measures of ban on assault weapons and background checks, et cetera, also included a commitment of federal dollars for police officers at schools. I believe we call them resource officers in Maryland, on our public school campuses. And I think that's a smart, long overdue idea. Apparently a lot of Maryland schools do it already. But do you currently utilize resource officers to assist with security and incident management? And what's been your experience with them? Are they well received by the parents and teachers and students?
We are very fortunate that our county commissioners provide in-kind funding for school resource officers to be located at each one of our high schools and our alternative school. Those officers are assigned as a home base to the high school, but they also rotate to the middle schools and the elementary schools in the feeder. We've had a wonderful relationship with our school resource officers for, I would say, close to a decade at this point. We have regular meetings with them on a monthly basis, and they help coordinate other kinds of safety training with other local law enforcement, such as city police, municipal police, and also with our local fire departments. So we really do enjoy a thriving relationship with them, and they've been an integral part of our safety and security plans.
Excellent. And are there any plans to expand that so that there is – I take it these resource officers in Frederick are armed?
Yes, they are.
And are there any plans to expand that to elementary or middle schools, not on a rotating basis, but on a during the day there's someone there who's available and trained and –
I'm not aware of any additional funding that the county commissioners are identifying to increase that staffing. However, we are taking more efforts to make sure that those rotations are happening more often, and we're also involving, again, our local city police and other municipalities as part of that plan.
Great. And then just last question on school maintenance, which is a huge focus for me. How are you progressing as far as not just the new schools, which we love, but the maintenance of the older schools? Are you encouraging even cosmetic improvements like fresh paint, new carpeting, power washing, sprucing these places, these school facilities up?
Absolutely. Mr. Barnes, would you like to speak to the details of that?
We have a well-established program of maintenance in Frederick County that we've been able to maintain even in the difficult times of funding that we've had in recent years. And so we take a lot of pride, and I think as you've seen, as you've come to Frederick County and looked at our buildings, that we've been able to keep them in reasonable shape given the financial constraints that we have to work within in the county.
Thank you. If you find that young student, I've forgotten his name, but tell him he's welcome down in Annapolis if he wants to have a tour.
Wonderful. Good. And a free autograph, right?
A free no, I gave him the autograph. I think he thought I was a sports player. It's okay. Thank you.
Can I ask you one other question? Of all of these projects, is it fair to assume that that the North Frederick Elementary, which would go to bid in the coming year, would be the one that would be most job creative of of all of these?
Right. North Frederick, mm-hmm. we expect to be out to bid on within the next 60 days. And, of course, that's a 90,000-square-foot building. So it's going to provide, through funding of this project, employment and all sorts of related trades that are related to the construction of this building. So, you know, that's going to be a big project for local contracting and community health support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good, I think it's still morning. Good morning, Governor.
Hi.
Comptroller, Treasurer, Secretaries, and Department Representatives. Thank you for the flexibility of scheduling. We, too, have a board meeting today. I'm John O'Neill, Assistant Superintendent of Administration for Carroll County Schools. I'm representing Superintendent Steve Guthrie, who sends his deep regrets that he couldn't be here with you today. He is at home rapidly recovering from a successful surgical procedure on his back, but he certainly wishes he could be here. And to the comptroller who was out visiting with us recently, I shared your personal well wishes, and he was very grateful for that, so thank you. I do have with me members of our staff, Director of Facilities Management, Ray Prokop, Supervisor of Construction, Jim Marks, and our Facilities Planner, Bill Kane, to help me out if you have detailed questions. I was going to sort of summarize the testimony in the interest of your time, so I'll do my best to do that. We are here today to appeal the recommended deferral of 12 of our Energy Efficiency Initiative requests. Projects, and we're also seeking the balance of construction funding on 3 roofing replacement projects. That being said, we are deeply appreciative for the levels of funding already awarded, over $2 million for the EEI projects, and partial construction funding on the 3 roof replacements, and we could talk a little bit more about them in a bit. Not noted in our testimony because it's not under appeal here, but I did want to at least mention it and thank the IHC is the fact that we had an open space enclosure project that did receive full funding, and those have been great investments for us in Carroll County, so we are very appreciative of that. Some summary points. Our overall submission is down a little bit from what it might have been in recent historical years. In part, that's a reflection of local fiscal constraints, and I think in part it's a reflection of the fact that as a school system in Carroll County, We're fortunate, at least for the short term, to be at a place where system-wide, system overall, we've met our capacity needs. And so we're turning our attention to systemic renovations and replacements and ways to best utilize our space for our student populations and our student programs. We are a school system, like many, with changing demographics, and because of that, we've been able to tap into some of the non-traditional financing sources that are available, most notably for that, CUSAB in recent years, where before we weren't eligible, we've been able to access CUSAB in recent years to much success, the supplemental allocation from a couple of general assemblies ago. And we view EEI sort of in that pattern. And so we're grateful for those opportunities. And if you could honor our request in this appeal, we could bring that would complete our request and bring all of our standard, our schools to a certain initial standard we're hoping for in terms of LED efficient lightings on the outside and occupancy sensors on the inside. And that pays double dividends for us. We focused a lot on energy and efficiency in the last couple of years, and it's helping us on the operating budget side as well. Unfortunately, we're in a pattern of declining student enrollment for the past few years, which will continue, and we've been able to get our utilities portion of our operating budget to a flat number the last couple of cycles, which has been a great benefit to us. As far as the roofing projects, the 3 projects you have before you, Westminster, West Middle, Carroll Springs School, and Taneytown Elementary, and the 3 amounts of requested funding are detailed for you. We can go over that if you want. I guess to summarize, because they all follow the same pattern, we do have now a queue of system replacement needs in our school system. They fall into different categories, but none more prevalent than roof replacement needs. And this is kind of an initial step into that backlog that we have looming for this year and future years in roof replacement needs. All of these would be replacements to 4-ply built-up systems. Each of these schools, we're at a point where we're already experiencing various levels of water infiltration. Obviously, we have concerns about indoor air quality that may come from that, and we do experience disruption to our educational programs. And so even though West Middle, you might note from the testimony, is in our priority list for a modernization, we can't make it to that point, and I think that's fiscal year 2021. So we do need these replacements sooner than later, and they just represent a much deeper backlog for us in terms of our systemic needs. West Middle is a school that the comptroller is very familiar with, having visited a couple of times in recent years for different reasons. To me, that summarizes our appeal and our needs. I'll pause in the interest of your time, and we'll receive questions or any other information we can provide.
Thank you, Mr. O'Neill, and thank you again for that ceremony. I was out at West Middle School, as you mentioned, giving a Golden Apple Award to Ms. Jill Burnett for her exceptional volunteer work at West Middle School. And it's just a great experience.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Give my regards to Superintendent Guthrie. I hope he continues to mend. I often refer to Carroll County as the cradle of Maryland's financial literacy movement, owing to the determination of your former superintendent,
yes,
Chuck Ecker, to establish a mandatory financial education curriculum in the Carroll County's high school, and sure also that it was done at relatively minimal cost to the taxpayers. I would like to ask, I guess, in recognition of Mr. Ecker, how is that program doing? Do you see where it's making a real difference in the lives of students, and does it continue to be received well by educators within the school system?
Well, we do. First of all, we hear from Dr. Ecker all the time. He's doing well, and we're grateful for his continued guidance. The program continues to do well. We do continue to review it, both with our student representatives and at the Board of Education level. We look to improve it. We look to increase professional development in that area. The only concern that we would have is not one of the substance of the program, but that we continue to look at the program, look at the curriculum, and make sure that we refine it in the essential ways necessary to reach every type of student wherever we find them on the continuum. So that's what the program's in fine stead. It's just a matter of constantly reviewing it, evaluating it, and making sure it's hitting our students where they have needs and interests.
Okay, and then just three quick questions. In light of the Connecticut situation, do you have plans to realign your physical spaces in existing schools, particularly old ones, to make their campuses more secure?
Sure. I think, like Frederick County, we're trying to approach safety and security concerns as comprehensively as possible. We've already taken some public actions toward those ends. And when I say as comprehensively as possible, I think addressing the same things they already outlined, protocols, training, and then also additional resources, programs, including facility adjustments to facilities. We did have an internal committee in the wake of Columbine, which sort of was our first phase of safety and security measures. We had already revisited that with a bit of a broader, meaning beyond just the walls of the school system, committee in 2007, which was sort of the next enhancement phase to our safety and security measures. We've been continuing to implement along those lines. The tragedy at Sandy Hook has prompted the superintendent to recommend and the board to approve a much broader-based community committee to come together and make final recommendations to the Board of Ed. We're finishing the formation. We're on a very accelerated timeline looking for final recommendations within 2 months. That committee will have not only members of the board, the school system, but also all county agencies, law enforcement, the state's attorney, parent groups, and others as part of it. Our commissioners invited us in immediately in December for a local public conversation. They allocated an additional $325,000 in mid-year into a capital account for us to accelerate some of the measures we already had underway. We're going to focus that first $325,000 on visitor access control systems for schools that were in the queue but not yet we had not been able to reach, and so they become top priorities for us. us, and then hopefully that gets us to the outcome of our community committee, and we'll pick it up from there and move forward as best we can with the recommendations.
And how many of your middle, elementary, high schools have armed resource officers? How many do not?
Well, when I first answer this, bear with me. Believe it or not, Carroll County Schools does not have school resource officers, neither through our own budget or through an adjoining agency. So we're one of the few, I guess I would say, suburban school systems that may not officially have any school resource officers. We do enjoy a very close, a very tight, well-oiled relationship with the state's attorney, the state police barracks in Westminster, the county sheriff's office, and all the municipal law enforcement agencies. And so that's been in place, and that's served us well thus far. Hopefully, to phase into the community committee process I just described, already underway locally is a conversation with us, with state's attorney, with all of law enforcement at all levels, to look at, if not a school resource officer program, then what they're calling, at least for now, unofficially, an adopt-a-school program for members of the law enforcement community. And so it may not be a budgeted FTE showing up in someone's budget, but whether it's at the municipal, the county, or the state police barracks level, officers would be able to adopt a school within our system, show up there routinely, develop the kind of relationships that we know grow out of an established school resource officers program, be that conduit of information back and forth. So that's where we are right now with that part of the process.
Well, if you could keep us in the loop on that, because I can't imagine anything more important on an interim basis. And I was in a Hartford elementary school that was designed in the 70s, back when they had open schools.
Yes.
I don't know whether you have any in Carroll. I'm sure you have some of that. But the design is just, from an educational standpoint, they want to move forward, but from a security standpoint, it's just a nightmare.
We are rapidly finishing up those open space schools to the enclosure projects. So.
Thank you for that. And then a final question on sprucing up your older buildings with cosmetic improvements like fresh paint, new carpeting, power washing.
We face fiscal constraints. There's no doubt about that. They've intensified even more in the more recent fiscal years. But I am very proud of our facility maintenance program. I think it's one of many feathers in the cap for Carroll County Schools. And we've continued to find ways, sometimes having to be a little more creative than maybe we had to be in the past to meet our maintenance needs. For my money, and I actually kind of hope Joe Licata's in the room, having come from Hartford County to Carroll, I'd put the quality and the maintenance of our facilities against any in the state that I've been part of. Very proud of the folks in the facilities maintenance department. I think we maintain top-notch schools. We focus on maintenance. We focus on cleanliness. Where we've been challenged is we've had to peel back all parts of the operational budget in the past few years. Superintendent Guthrie has tried to offset those maybe category reductions with year-end savings money. So as we realize some savings in various categories, then we ask our Board of Ed and our county commissioners for approval to transfer money at year-end, and in the summer sort of catch up on some of those projects that 4 or 5 fiscal years ago might have just been sort of part of the annual budget process. We're trying to hold where we are, which we think is a pretty proud place to be.
We'll give my regards to the superintendent, and maybe he could come up with a program to partner with the private sector and have them adopt some schools that need sprucing up maintenance that your funds may not be available. But thank you for
share your regards and those ideas. Thank you very much.
Good.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Worcester County.
Governor O'Malley, Comptroller Francho, Secretary Kopp. I'm Jerry Wilson, Superintendent of Schools for Worcester County. Governor, as a new superintendent of the state, I want to thank you for the strong support shown for K-12 education in your budget and for your state policy leadership that's resulted in Maryland's number one ranking for quality counts.
Okay.
We are grateful for the opportunity to appear before you this morning to discuss the Snow Hill High School Renovation Addition Project. We completed a feasibility study for Snow Hill High School in 2004. The study concluded that the now 55-year-old facility required a major upgrade of building systems, additional instructional and support spaces, and site upgrades. Construction documents were completed and approved in 2007. The Snow Hill High School project was prioritized to begin following completion of the Pocomoke High renovation. With the support of the Board of Public Works, the Pocomoke High project was completed in the summer of 2011. And now with your support, we will begin investing in a community of students and staff who consistently achieve a high level of academic excellence. Snow Hill High School recently achieved a 30-point gain in SAT critical reading, 52-point gain in SAT writing. All Snow Hill High School seniors met the MSDE graduation requirements, and Snow Hill High was named a 2012 U.S. News and World Report National Silver Award School for the third consecutive year, was named a PBIS Gold School for 2012. Our appearance before you today and our efforts in partnership with Dr. Lever and the IAC staff over the past 9 years is to provide these high achievers a modern, state-of-the-art academic facility. We are very pleased to learn in December that the Interagency Committee on School Construction recommended approval of $3.5 million for our $4.667 million Snow Hill High School funding request. We are here this morning to appeal for the remaining $1.167 million of the project maximum state allocation. Approval of this funding will allow us to begin construction on schedule in January 2014. Once again, on behalf of the Worcester County Board of Education and students, staff, and parents of Worcester County, I want to thank you for your consistent and continuing support of our school construction program. Due to your support over the past 10 years, we have completed a major renovation and addition project at our largest high school, Stephen Decatur High, opened the 87,000-square-foot Ocean City Elementary School, opened the new 140,000-square-foot Worcester Technical High School, and completed the renovation and addition at Pocomoke High School. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Could I just ask one technical question? You anticipate, if you get everything, beginning construction in the spring of 2014?
Yes.
So would you use all of the money within those 5 months or so?
Within those 5 months?
Yes,
we would.
Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Wilson, thank you for your comments. And about a year or so ago, I came down to Pocomoke Elementary School and was very impressed by how everybody participated, from the community to the faculty, the maintenance, and sprucing and keeping that maintenance program up. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
How is the school doing, Pocomoke Elementary?
It's doing excellent. National Blue Ribbon School this past year, sir.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good. If I could just quickly ask the other questions on whether your space has been assessed in the older schools in light of these tragedy up in Connecticut.
Absolutely. Yes, in terms of what we've been doing in, with regards to school safety, our staff immediately met with all our local law enforcement officials and developed a plan to increase law enforcement presence at all our 14 schools. We put that plan immediately into place. We also communicated with principals to review and reiterate mandatory safety procedures. An ongoing review of additional operational practices have included the appointment of a school safety administrator, school and central office review of all emergency plans, review of emergency codes and language for standardization, execution and monitoring of school lockdown drills, renewal of administrative teams emergency response training, inspection and evaluation of all our school facilities by law enforcement personnel to identify safety deficiencies and possible enhancements. Physical safety reviews under consideration include assigning full-time resource officers to all our schools, reviewing design of school entrances for possible improvements, addition of doors to all open bay classroom areas, front entrance buzzer systems to control access from the school office, card reader systems for rear and side doors providing access from portable classrooms, the review of number and location of all interior and exterior school security cameras, as we currently utilize 235 interior cameras and 93 exterior cameras. That's a partial listing of what we've been.
So you have armed resource officers at all your campuses?
No, we do not.
How many 14 schools have?
At this time, we have no school resource officers. We have a partial school resource officer at one of our schools.
Okay. If you could just alert your commission to the fact that there's federal money available for armed resource officers at elementary, middle, and high schools.
Yes.
And that's something they should at least look at. And thank you otherwise for your work on maintenance and emphasis on that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Dr. Wilson?
Yes.
How many portable classrooms?
In total across the county? 52.
At how many schools?
Nine.
So in terms of security, I would assume that's harder just because they're separate.
Yeah, they are problematic, and especially the elementary schools because of the need for students to go between buildings regularly for bathroom breaks and that kind of thing. So that has represented as a real security issue for us.
That's another reason to try to get kids out of what the governor called, unfairly, I think, learning shacks.
Absolutely. We would very much like to be able to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Wilson.
Thanks.
Yeah. Wicomico.
Good.
Wicomico.
All the big guns.
Good morning. I'm John Fredrickson, Superintendent of Schools, Wicomico County, and it's great to be here with you today. Thank you for the opportunity to share a few of our thoughts in regards to school facilities. Treasurer Kopp and Comptroller Francho, good to see you today. Hope you're having a fantastic day.
Thank you.
I'm seeing more smiles today than some previous years, so that's a positive. I want to say thank you right off the bat for the $10 million that was provided for Bennett Middle School last year. That pushed over the top a decision at our local level to make sure that they were committing to make this happen. It's a huge, huge step. Not only for the financial, not only for the facilities, but also for our community to build bridges between the various agencies and to look towards the future rather than to dwell in the past. We're also very interested in the school safety. We see some additional dollars that have been placed and some money for and some budgets for that. We're delighted with that opportunity and interested in talking with you about it, as well as seeing that there's some additional dollars being proposed for health, HVAC or air conditioning. Air conditioning is really the poster child for good quality clean air for children and staff members and other patrons that are in our schools. We know scientifically that kids need 12 to 15 cubic feet of fresh air, filtered air, per minute, per day, when they're going to do their very best in school. And air conditioning is kind of that thing that we all identify, but we really, what's going on behind the scenes is that filtration, that handling of the air, and that's what really costs the money. Thank you. Our number one priority, absolute number one priority, is Bennett Middle School. This is a building that's just been started. If you look in the materials, you'll notice that we have a photograph of the sign that's out on the site now as we're getting through the process of selecting bricks for the facility to be able to break ground in a month or two. That is not being fully funded at this time, and we're here to appeal that decision not to fully fund it. We're here to say thank you, by the way, for the funding for the energy upgrades. That was fantastic, but we've got to keep Bennett Middle School going forward. Also, we're very interested in East Salisbury Elementary School. We need a complete roof on that facility. Number three priority is Mardella Middle High School, which is a partial roof project. And then Pittsville Elementary Middle School, which is an HVAC project, a windows and doors project, and a lighting project. And finally, seventh on our list, not necessarily unimportant, but not as important as the others by long shot, is Y Middle School with an HVAC project on a Works Projects Progress Administration building from years gone by that's been upgraded and upgraded, and we're still making that work very well for middle school students. Your dollars help us leverage local dollars. Your dollars help us make sure that projects go forward. Your dollars and support make sure that we're able to carry forward the goals of having safe, appropriate facilities for our students to learn in. It also means that we can put the procedures together to make these things happen. If you look at the porous situation, you've asked other presenters about portable units. We have almost a dozen portable units at Benham Middle School on multiple sides of that facility. It's a very, very difficult project to try and make that a safe facility, as well as energy efficiency. When you look at the amount of dollars that we spend on that, it's very difficult, and you can't just simply piecemeal it. It has too many problems. It's been studied multiple times. It needs to go. We need your support to make that happen. And finally, our people can do their very best when they're in a facility that's designed for optimal learning. It's safest, by the way, when our schools and our communities pull together to make sure the kids are learning and doing their best, because then they get jobs and they're not out doing the other things that sometimes young people do. Thank you, and I stand for any questions you might have. I also have some other folks that are much better speakers than I am standing right behind me, ready to go. Thank you.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Rick Pollitt. I'm the Wicomico County Executive, and I first want to thank the board for its consistent, strong support for our schools across the state, and especially for our county. We've come to you many times over the years for help, and you've always been steadfast, and we do appreciate that. Obviously, I'm here today to voice my support for our current application for appeals and for school funding, but beyond that, I want to talk to you just for a moment about community support, because there have been times in the last few years when I've been here when I've had to acknowledge that I represent a county that's maybe not done its share in recent years. So we've made some choices that we weren't always real proud of. But 2 years ago, I was able to come to you and tell you that our community is now engaged. Our community has gone to bat. They've given the political leadership the motivation to get out and work for the people that we're supposed to serve. Our county last year took our income tax rate to its maximum. We took our property tax rate to the maximum allowed under our self-imposed revenue cap. Our community came out and said, we need our schools. We need this Bennett Middle School especially, and we're willing to pay for it. And so now I don't come just as the political wing of the county offering support, but I represent a solid community voice of help us please with our schools. We need it. They're the investment in our children. We're willing to do our part. But we still have great needs, and we do appreciate all that you've done for us in the past, and want you to know that we're here as steady, reliable partners going forward. Thank you for your consideration.
I think also we know that didn't just happen. It took a lot of work, and we really recognize and appreciate it.
It took a lot of work, and I, for one, appreciate all the help we had on this side of the bay. Yes, ma'am.
Could I ask the chair of the Appropriations Committee to come up? Because I don't see him that often. It's good to see him. Yeah.
Always glad to do that.
I'd like to thank you also, because I was caught in a situation last year that I knew our county needed a little extra push. To get people thinking like they needed to think. And talk about schools for our boys and girls. And the Bennett Middle School became the avenue. And honestly, had we not been able to come up with the $10 million last year, I'm not sure what would have happened. We may not have made the term political and citizenry-wise that we needed to do. But I think it has made a tremendous effort. And I want to thank you for working with us to provide that $10 million. It helped us turn a major corner. So I think our school systems have been basically those schools that for years and years we've just tried to maintain, sometimes in good ways, sometimes not to the degree we should have. But we've had a good system. We've had people tremendously interested in doing a good job for the boys and girls of Wacomico County. And I would like to ask you to give strong consideration to the requests of the county. They're not done lightly. And we're going to work as hard as we can to make sure the governor's initiative with school construction is taken care of. And I think that's a priority item for the entire state of Maryland. And we have to remember boys and girls learn when they're in good atmospheres. And we're going to make strong strides to make sure that that's the case in all 24 subdivisions of our state. Our committee will be working for that goal, and I'm sure the Senate B&T will do the same. So thank you. And thanks again for the tremendous step made for Bennett Middle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, if I could ask a question, because I also applaud the Bennett Middle School resolution and really appreciate the fact that the county is all together on that. And there's another school down there, Northwestern Elementary in Ardella Springs, which is a great community school. So don't forget that. But if I could just ask you, I mentioned that there's a lot of federal money being made available for armed resource officers in schools. And I hope I'm picking up that some counties are very vigilant on this, like Baltimore County has an armed resource officer at every high school and every middle school. Other counties, it's not something that they've adjusted to, but Baltimore County and these other jurisdictions find that these folks are trained professionals. They're involved in a lot of incident control separate from just being on the scene. And it strikes me in light of Connecticut that we ought to at least take advantage of what President Obama was talking about and consider that. I know it's a big switch. I'm not talking about anything radical that hasn't been done in some schools already, but to the extent there's federal dollars for police officers, and a lot of schools already have these, you might take a look at it.
I would say to you, I had a constituent call Ms. Betsy Hancock in Salisbury, and she had been one of my parents when I was principal at Pinehurst. In fact, I had taught two of her daughters. Mm-hmm. But she was very concerned about arming teachers and arms in the school and so forth. Yeah, how sad is it that we have gotten to this state? I said, I agree with you. She said, you know, I have a suggestion, and I don't know how it can be adapted, but maybe it could. I wear a necklace. And she said, all I have to do if I get in a jam is press that button. It goes immediately to 911, and they know where I am. They know I've got a problem, and someone's dispatched immediately. Mm-hmm. She said, has anyone thought of maybe some adaptation of that kind of technology for a school office or for teachers even? People are thinking about it.
Sure.
And they're quite concerned. And, of course, we have our future resources in those buildings. So I think anything that we look at and work toward, I think safety has to be primary.
Terrific. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else?
for a little county, you've got a very big team.
We have a great team. I'd like to respond, if I may, in regards to the school resource officers. We have 9 school resource officers. One is assigned to every one of our secondary schools, middle schools, and high schools. Then, and we have 1 supervisor, and so there's 9 of them, a supervisor and 8 officers. They are all armed. They all are trained professionally. They all are employed by the sheriff's office. They work year-round for the sheriff. They work for us for about 180, 185 days. They also have relationships, speaking engagements and activities and support in our elementary schools and other programs where we have children. And we've taken a pretty aggressive stance in terms of safety for large events. We require, if you're going to come to a basketball game, you're going to have to show an ID badge of some sort to get in, a driver's license or state ID. And we're also hosting for the Eastern Shore all the Bayside Conference schools, training on how to do that. We're bringing in a presenter from Wisconsin, paid for by Nationwide Insurance, to do a system-wide, here's how you deal with large group events, how to make a safe situation. And we're bringing all the athletic directors, principals, and the like from these places. And we're not only having them do the training, we're hosting at our school system, but we're also then bringing him out, and he's going to go out, look at our facilities, and provide specific details in terms of how to make ours safer. We want to make sure that we prevent as opposed to try to mop up afterwards. And we're strict. I mean,
good. Dr. Fredrickson, thank you.
You know, when we let people stand in the parking lot, if there are too many people and the fire marshal says that gym has a capacity of X number of people, that's how many get in. And it's not just the number. As we look out there, and if everybody's sitting cheek to cheek, nobody else comes in, and that's just how life is, because we believe a little bit of prevention is worth a lot of cure.
Nobody worked harder on gun control than I did when I was in the legislature. But I am fully prepared to say we need these trained professionals at every elementary, middle, and high school. Because of the change in our culture, and thank you for doing that, if it can be complemented with what the chairman was talking about, I think that makes a lot of sense. It's completely different from arming teachers and others. That's not a good direction. But a trained, retired state police officer or sheriff or current employee who's trained in these matters, we need them at these schools because of what happened in Connecticut, and there are all sorts of little shootings around the country. No shooting is little, but it's there, and I think the kids deserve that kind of presence until everything gets sorted out. So thank you for your diligence on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Washington. Thank you all very much. And Rick, good seeing you, Mr. County Executive. Thanks for your leadership. And Mr. Chairman, thanks for everything you're doing for our state.
Governor O'Malley, Mr. Kopp, Mr. Francho, Dr. Lowry, and Dr. Lieber, thank you very much for allowing us from Washington County to stand before you today. One point of personal privilege, I simply want to thank Dr. Lowry for her leadership as the new state superintendent. She has been instrumental in helping us to refocus on instruction and what's important for kids. She has been a tremendous advocate for us as we face some challenges with the delivery of health services in our county. And more importantly, perhaps most recently, she is providing some leadership around the area of technology, and we thank you for that very much. In addition to the projects that we are have been funded for and recommended for by the Interagency Committee on School Construction, Washington County Public Schools is specifically requesting that the Board of Public Works fully refund our request for Vester Elementary's replacement school project and 3 desperately needed systemic projects. I also want to take this opportunity to express the Washington County Public Schools' support and interest in any additional capital funding that can be appropriated to enhance our school security efforts. Washington County Public Schools has purposefully pursued increased security measures with local funding throughout the system over the past few years via capital improvements, training, and additional security staff. We have a long list of security majors that have been identified to help us meet these needs, such as adding to the number of security vestibules that we have present. We have looked at door and hardware systems. We have looked at improvements to our electronic security systems and enhanced communication and camera systems. Again, any additional support from the state would be greatly appreciated by Washington County Public Schools. As all of you know, economic conditions in Washington County are difficult. They continue to improve, but at a very slow pace. The local economy has been impacted as our students have faced increasingly difficult living situations. We have many multifamily residencies right now. We have a number of homeless. That number continues to escalate in our county, and we are struggling with students who are moving between residential properties as they become available on the cheap. Unemployment continues to be a challenge in Washington County. One of the evidences of that is our free and reduced lunch rate continues to climb in Washington County. We are now at very nearly 50% of our students receiving free and or reduced lunch services from our school system. In spite of all of that, the partnership that we now enjoy with our county commissioners is perhaps one of the strongest partnerships that you might find in this county. Our county commissioners have reached out and stepped forward to help us with some of these security initiatives. They have reached out to help us with some of our capital improvement initiatives, and they stand as good partners in delivering of great educational services to the kids in our community. Specifically, however, I would like to talk to you about continuing to fund our new construction project at Vester Elementary School. As most of you know, this is a high-poverty Title I school that acts as the center of the Vester community. Construction of this school replaces the second lowest-ranked facility in our district, it also provides for this community a school that is worthy of the young people and the families who are privileged to live within that attendance area. We will have in this space some pre-K center. We will partner with the Judy Center there. We have state-of-the-art technology to help this community reach out and be part of the 21st century and the global World Wide Web. We are working to develop STEM initiatives by building science and technology labs within the school that will be second to none. And we are also oversizing the gymnasium to help with some of the issues of obesity that oftentimes come and accompany high-poverty families because they have to buy high-carbohydrate foods. This project will also serve as an exemplar to the community about a brilliant strategy for economic and environmental concern takes place. It will be a LEED Silver certified building from the opening day. We also are asking you to fund three systemic renovations. We are looking to replace a HVAC system at a very old facility in our community at Funkstown Elementary School. We're asking for window and door replacement at Boonesboro Middle School, and we're asking for your guidance and support in replacing Clear Spring Middle School's roof. These systemic projects total only about $1 million. We know that is a formidable task in this economic environment, but we believe that it will be money well spent in our community. We respectfully ask for your consideration of our questions, and we stand ready to answer any questions that you have for us. Or not.
Glad to see Vester's on the list.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good. Thank you.
So what is the schedule with Vester?
Vester is under construction right now. Right. They are putting in the foundation. The geothermal systems are under construction right now. We anticipate major construction during the course of this year, finishing in late 2014. And we will then demolish the old Vester, which stands right in front of the new mm-hmm. construction of the property.
Okay. Yes, long overdue. Right.
Long overdue. School built in 1922, many, many, many difficulties with that school and delivering services to the kids. Well, I thank you for your time and I thank you for your attention.
Somerset.
When do we break?
Somerset. Okay.
Good afternoon. I want to acknowledge Governor O'Malley because the last time, he was in Somerset after Sandy, but I was a principal at Calverton, and you came to help me clean up with T-shirt and jeans and a wreck in your hand and moving all of the stuff out of the dungeon, if you will. So I'm here again today, still seeking your help. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Decima.
Good afternoon, Comptroller Franchot and Treasurer Comp and our own Dr. Lowry and members of the Board of Public Works. I came before you this morning to thank you first and foremost for your financial and technical support towards our school district as it relates to our facility needs. The board, based upon the recommendation from the IAC, has provided millions of dollars to the county for our capital improvement projects over the year. I and the citizens of Somerset are very appreciative of this generosity. Today I appear before you to appeal the proposed level of funding for one school. It's actually one facility, which is Greenwood Elementary School. There are two projects at Greenwood Elementary School. One has to do with the replacement of the HVAC system, and the second is the replacement of the roofing system. In 2011, we did a feasibility study, and with that feasibility study, it was determined that the HVAC system performed poorly. We also identified the need to replace the existing system with a more energy-efficient system. The project is approximately $3.6 million. We have asked the state for approximately $2.9 million. The IAC recommended $400,000. To execute the project with a level of recommended funding, the county would have to forward fund this project with approximately $3.2 million. This substantial amount would be required to supplement the shortfall of the state share in addition to its own share of the construction funds. Considering the financial situation in our county, it becomes highly unlikely that the project will move forward with such little funding participation from the state. The governor recently announced the availability of an additional $25 million in school construction funds exclusively for the HVAC projects. This project certainly qualifies for that funding category. We are therefore hopeful that this project will now receive additional consideration by the state to achieve full funding of its share. Otherwise, the project will be in jeopardy of being delayed for execution due to inadequate financial resources. As it relates to the second project, the feasibility study also showed that the roofing of Greenwood Elementary School was in need of replacement. The project costs approximately $1.4 million. The state share is approximately $1.1 million. The IAC is only recommending $400,000. Again, the economic condition of our county finance may preclude the execution of this project due to the extra financial burden resulting from inadequate state funding. That said, in conclusion, if the Board of Public Works proceeds with the funding level recommended by the IAC, on both renovation requests, the result will be an undue shift of financial burden to our local authorities that may not be met due to the current economic climate. In addition, we all saw the horrible incident of Sandy Hook Elementary in Connecticut. It generated a review of the security logistics in our schools, of which we have no resource officers. I am concerned that we only have two schools that have buzzer access. Every other school you can work in. This is a concern that I put before our county commissioners and our board since I arrived in Somerset County in 2010. I believe that it is important to talk about the impact of Sandy, if you will, on Somerset County. We had about 80 families displaced, 80 children displaced, and we have had to step in to say, what can we do to help? We rerouted our transportation. We served as food. We do the food for our kids so that they have backpacks for kids when they leave on Friday. And we're still there working beside them. FEMA, we work beside them in the storm and after the storm. So we need to have the resource officers. We need as much assistance as we can get in Somerset County. We thank the governor, the president, for, in fact, the FEMA assistance that we have been getting, but we still have miles to go before we sleep. Questions? Yes.
Dr. Miles, thank you for your leadership. Somerset's got economic challenges, I agree with you, so I understand the comment about the financial situation. But it's also a county where there's a low cost of doing business because of the challenging economy. And the price tag for this HVAC system is $3.6 million. That's a lot more than anything else on any other HVAC proposal by quite a long shot. And
what we know is that $400,000 will also not provide us with the HVAC system that we need. So what we're asking for is a reconsideration of what the IAC has recommended.
Well, Dr. Lieber, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't this request a lot higher than any other schools in the system?
I'm checking some in Baltimore City, and, of course, I don't know the square footage, I don't have that right in front of me, but we have looking at total cost, Arundel pre-K to 8, $3.5 million, Arlington pre-K to 8, $4.6 million, Westport Academy, $1.3 million. Guilford Elementary Middle, $3.4 million. Gwynn Falls, $4.4 million. So it does seem to be in range for complete HVAC, and this is a replacement project for the entire school. And this is an elementary school, and I don't know the square footage to be able to compare it on a square footage basis.
So why are we recommending 400 instead of 2.9?
The two projects became eligible at the last minute, just before we took recommendations to the IAC. We had already developed recommendations for other jurisdictions, and so we were able to find some money to begin these projects so that they could get into the eligibility category, they could submit their plans to DGS. But this happened literally the day before we took our recommendations to the IAC. So
it's not a question of challenging either the need or the cost.
No.
It's a question of getting it into the
the
process.
That's correct.
If I could just ask Dr. Miles to also get your facility people, whoever's in charge of this, just to go back and look at that, because it seems to me, despite the Baltimore City cost, to be a significant cost. And looking at the roof, I noticed that. I guess our share is $1.1
million. Correct.
And I do have some figures for other elementary schools in the state. They're requesting new roofs. And, here we are at Baltimore County, Chapel Hill Elementary, $800,000. Taney Town in Carroll County, $500,000. Harford County, George Lisby Elementary, $430,000. Howard County, roof and windows, $886,000 for Rockburn Elementary. Veers Mill Elementary in Montgomery County, where the streets are paved in gold, as you know, not exactly a place known for its low cost of labor and building materials, $587,000. That's the state share, and you're requesting $1.1 million. And I guess the question is, can't we keep the cost down in an area like
I will have my facilities person take a look at those numbers. Given the age of the school, part of the school built in 1959 has never been renovated. And I know because I opened the school. I was actually a student at that school. And so when I went in to take a look at it, I was at the school. I was a little concerned that part of that building has never been renovated. And I think that may be a reason for the cost. But I
maybe. Perfectly appropriate. If you could just let us know, and Treasurer seems to have some interest also, and make sure that we don't have some extravagance that we're not aware of, I guess is the question.
Be happy to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Miles, Deputy Treasurer Brogan drew my attention to the description of the project that is in the materials we have, which includes a replacement of an old HVAC system with a geothermal system, unit ventilators for the classrooms, rooftop for the gym, et cetera. Could that be part of the cost, that it is a geothermal, that they're talking about a geothermal unit would cost a little more upfront in order to save money down the road?
What we understand is that on the Eastern Shore, the cost of geothermal is now equivalent to conventional.
And is a normal thing to do.
Right. The Western Shore, there's still a premium, we understand.
So if people see this and think there is anything out of the ordinary or extravagant about this project for this size school in this place, the answer I'm hearing from you is there is not.
No.
Thank you. Okay. Any questions?
Thanks, Dr. Ma.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to take a short break now, right?
Left. Yes, we were originally scheduled to come back at 1 o'clock, which would be a 40-minute break. Do you want to come back at 1 o'clock, or do you want to take a 30, 40-minute break?
We could do one more score.
1 o'clock works. Yes?
Yeah, that's okay.
All right, 17 minutes.
Yeah, that's good.